many of you very well. I only started in September, so I'm slowly getting to know people. But I just want to tell you guys a little story about myself. So I said I'm fairly outgoing. I'm fairly confident. I like to be the center of attention. I was not always this way. In high school, I was actually terrified of being noticed. I was very self-conscious, very timid, very shy. My family probably doesn't agree with me on that. However, at school, I was very, very quiet. And so let me just tell you this quick story. So I was at school. Me and my one friend, probably my only friend in high school, were walking around. We did this thing at lunch. I don't know why, but we would always just like walk the halls in the school. I don't know. We like would take laps around the building, and that was our thing. And so one day we're walking around the halls in the school, and you know what teenage girls do? We're like, gotta go to the washroom, check our hair, and you can't go alone. You gotta go in pairs. So we went into the washroom together. And as we're heading toward the washroom, there's this guy teasing this girl outside of the washroom doors, and he's calling her names and just making fun of her. And I was like, oh, this is awkward, and me being quiet and shy didn't really want to interfere. And so I was like, oh, let's just like slip in the washroom, and we kind of ducked in and, you know, thought that would be the end of that. I didn't have to get involved, but the girl had to follow us into the washroom. Like, hello, I'm trying not to get noticed, and you're following us into the washroom, bringing the trouble with us. And the guy still didn't leave her alone. He continued to call her names. He continued to tease her, calling at her from the hallway. And now we're in the washroom kind of checking our hair, and we're like, this is really awkward. We want to leave and run away and hide. And we have to walk past him to leave. And he just kept going, and we weren't really sure what to do. And all of a sudden, this pop bottle comes flying into the washroom. He had thrown a bottle of pop at this girl from the hallway, and something in me just snapped. Like, I was like, that's enough. Like, this is enough. So I walk over, I pick up the bottle of pop, stomp myself out of that washroom, and I walk up to him, look at him, and I say, what is wrong with you? You need to leave this girl alone. And I dump the entire bottle of pop on this guy's head. I don't know what happened. I don't know where that came from. I walked away literally trembling. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. But it was like this incredible moment of boldness that came over me. And that's what I want to focus on today, this idea of boldness. I'm sure there's many better ways that I could have handled that situation. I'm sure that that's not exactly what God wanted me to do there, dump some pop on this guy's head. But you know, wisdom and maturity comes as you grow. So we'll just forgive my old self, my reckless self, and move on from that. But it's this idea of boldness. That moment of boldness. Have you guys ever had that moment where you just say something or you do something, and afterwards you're like, I don't know where that came from. Where did that come from? How did I come up with those words to say, or how did I end up doing that thing? You kind of shock yourself, right? So if you guys have your Bibles, would you just open with me to the book of Acts? And we're going to go into chapter 4. We've been going through the book of Acts. We're doing a sermon series on the book of Acts. And so I have the privilege of sharing Acts chapter 4 with you. I get to beat all of you guys to the book of Acts because I put a little bookmark in here because I knew we were preaching here. But you guys go ahead, turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who grew, or the men who believed, grew to about 5,000. That verse right there is amazing. That's a whole other sermon. Like, hello, they're getting persecuted, and then they're growing. Amazing that there is so much growth in hard times. However, that is not what I'm going to focus on. I want to point out who this story is about. So we got, says, Peter and John. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, Peter and John, yeah, disciples of Jesus. You kind of skim over the names really fast because you're like, okay, let's get to like what this story is actually about. But I really want to focus on who it's about. Peter and John. You got John, and that makes so much sense to me. You look at who John is. He's the beloved disciple of Jesus. He's like that person that straight A's, like teacher's pet, always gets it right. Whatever Jesus says, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And it says he's the beloved disciple of Jesus. And that just makes sense that he's doing God's work. Yeah, of course he's going out and telling everybody about Jesus. But who's John with? It's with Peter. Peter. We think about this, everybody's like, yeah, Peter's a disciple of Jesus. He follows Jesus. But that wasn't really all that he was. It's not the full story. See, Peter, he kind of messed up a little bit. If you know the story of Peter, he followed Jesus. He's like, man, Jesus, I'm all in. I want to follow you. I want to walk on water. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to do all the things that you say you want us to do. I'm going to follow you everywhere that you go. And then he was there with Jesus the night that Jesus was arrested. He maybe a little rash, cut off the soldier's ear, and he says, Jesus, I'm never going to deny you. Jesus says, yeah, you're going to deny me. He's like, no, Jesus, not me. Not me. I'm in it till the end. I got your back. But then Jesus gets arrested, and Peter follows at a distance to the Sanhedrin. I was asking about this the other day. I'm like, is it Sanhedrin or Sanhedrin? I know I should know it, but I'm going with Sanhedrin, so work with me, okay? So Peter follows at a distance to the Sanhedrin, and someone calls him out and says, hey, don't you know Jesus? Aren't you one of his followers? And Peter kind of gets like this little voice squeak. He's like, me? Follower of Jesus? Jesus, who's that? I don't know Jesus. And you know who the people that were asking him thought when he said that? They were going, liar, liar, pants on fire. Because, work with me just a little bit. Jesus was kind of like Justin Bieber, okay? He was a big deal. Even if you didn't like him, even if you didn't like his ministry, you still knew who he was. He was making a big ruckus. And so when they're like, saying, I don't know him, I've never heard of him, they're like, I think you have, like, he's a celebrity right now. And so they were calling him a liar. See, Peter was too scared to say he knew who Jesus was. And not only did he deny Jesus that one time, but he denied him two more times, a total of three times in one night. And yet here we are in Acts chapter 4 saying that Peter got arrested for proclaiming the name of Jesus. Something happened between that story and Acts chapter 4. So Peter's denial of Jesus, it's not just recorded once. It's recorded in all four Gospels of the Bible. It's probably the most read books of the Bible. And I don't know if about you, but if I was Peter, that would be like something that I'd be like, can we just keep that on the down low, guys? You know, I messed up, but moved on. I kept following Jesus. Could we just move past that? It's a little embarrassing. I don't want everybody to know about my mistake. Could you put it in fine print? Maybe hide it in a book of the Bible that nobody reads about. But for whatever reason, it's in all four Gospels. And I've realized that if something's in the Bible, it's probably important. If it's in four books of the Bible, you better pay attention to it. It's there for a reason. So let's pay attention to this. The story of Peter denying Jesus is in all four Gospels, and I think it's because it's a story that gives us hope. It's a story that says you can mess up really bad. You can go astray. You can go do your own thing, but God doesn't give up on you. God still has a plan for you. He still has a purpose for your life. And no matter how far you go, no matter how badly you mess up, no matter how ashamed or humiliated you feel, God's got a plan for your life, and he still loves you. I love what Pastor Tim shared this morning from Romans, that nothing separates us from the love of God, nothing. And no matter how much you feel like, God can't love me, God can't love me, there is nothing that separates you from the love of God. See, Peter's mess up sucked, and I'm sure it was humiliating for him, and I'm sure he felt so much shame and guilt for it. But as we get to read in the Gospels, it doesn't end there. Peter's story continues. So I have it up on the screen, so you guys don't need to turn to this one. Stay in Acts 4. But in John 21, 15 to 19, it tells the rest of Peter's story. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, so feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, so take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter felt hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to them, follow me. I love the story of Peter. It's one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible because he messed up and he knew it. He had thought his career as a Jesus follower was over. He's packing up. He's heading home. It actually says that when Jesus reappeared to him, they were out fishing. Peter was a fisherman prior to Jesus. He had packed it up. He said, you know what? I messed up so bad. I can't be a follower of God anymore. I'm going to go back. I'm going to be a fisherman. And Jesus looks at him in his shame and guilt and says, I'm not done with you yet. If you love me, go do my work. If you love me, follow me. And he did. That moment, Peter decided to follow Jesus, and it's there that gives us, that decision there, that gives us the first 12 chapters of Acts. So spoiler alert, we're doing a study on the Acts, and the next couple chapters, you're going to be hearing about Peter, okay? Just a little spoiler. But those first 12 chapters are all about Peter and his ministry, and we also get two books of the New Testament because of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, and it was that decision to follow Jesus that lands us back in Acts chapter 4. So in chapter 2 of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit come at Pentecost. Peter was there. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, we learned about how he had healed a lame beggar, and it's that miracle there that lands us in chapter 4 where he is getting arrested with John. See, Peter said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever it leads. And as we read in the first verses of this chapter, it led him straight to jail. So let's continue in Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So let's just continue in verse 18. This was after they sent them out. The trial had kind of concluded. They were going to decide, what are we going to do with Peter and John? In verse 18, it says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. But as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And after further threats, they let them go because they could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Woo! Talk about a moment of boldness. Peter, he has been here before. See, who were the people that was putting the trial on? Who was he in front of? Who were the people that were his judges? It was the Sanhedrin. The same people that Jesus had been in front of when they decided to crucify him. Peter had been around that before, and the last time he was there didn't really go so well. He denied Jesus when Jesus was in front of these people, and yet how gracious is God that he has a second chance and he has the opportunity and the decision to make, am I going to follow God or am I going to run away in fear? So what's happening here? Peter and John, they're on trial, and I think that the whole purpose of this trial was not so much that they wanted to put Peter and John in prison. I think it had a lot more to do with intimidation. It had a lot to do with wanting to silence the church. It had a lot to do with making them stop talking. It's all about intimidation. See, the leaders had tried to stop Jesus while he was on earth, and when that didn't work, they killed him. But Jesus wouldn't stay dead, so he came back to life, and the leaders couldn't explain the empty tomb. And then they couldn't explain the healings and the miracles, and now here they are trying to silence Peter and John. And it seemed the harder they seemed to try to silence the church, the louder the church began to speak. I truly believe the entire purpose of this trial was to scare Peter and John into silence. It was them saying, hey, we're the authority. And they were pretty intimidating people. They had Jesus crucified. So I'd say they were fairly feared. And they tried to push their authority. And it says in verse 8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. I take this to mean that God had enabled him at that moment to respond to his accusers. It was a moment of boldness that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think we can sum up Peter's response to the Sanhedrin in about 3 points. Like any good Pentecostal sermon, it's got 3 main points. So first, Jesus, the guy that he says, first of all, Jesus, the guy that you guys rejected, yeah, you tried to kill him, he's not dead anymore. God raised him from the dead, and he's alive, and also, he's the whole reason that we're here on trial. He's the one that's able to heal this man. So you tried to kill him, but yeah, he didn't stay dead. He's the power behind all of this. Second of all, everything that you talked about, everything that you've done, it was all foretold in the Old Testament. That's why he quotes a verse from Psalms, and he says, yeah, it's no surprise that you tried to do this. This was foretold. The third point that he made was when you, the one that you rejected, the person that you rejected, Jesus, yeah, he's also the only way to heaven. It was a bold speech. He pointed a lot of blame at the Sanhedrin. He said, yeah, you guys are the leaders. Yeah, I know. I know, you're the leaders that had the Messiah of the entire world crucified. When Peter responded, he wasn't responding as someone that was intimidated by man. Rather, he responded as a man empowered by God. Let me say that again because I stuttered. When Peter responded, it was not as someone intimidated by man, rather as a man empowered by God. I'd say that's a pretty bold speech that he made. And it left the leaders speechless. When they called Peter and John back in, and they said, okay, we're done our trial, we've made our decision, all they had come up with was don't talk about it. Be quiet. We don't want you to speak. Sounds to me like, you know, like when a kid, like, two, like, little kids are fighting. Like, I have younger siblings, and all the time they'd, like, kind of get into, like, little fights, and it'd be like, no, you stop talking now, you stop talking, no, you stop. And that's what I feel like they're doing. They're like, no, you need to be quiet. And that's all they had come up with. They didn't come up with anything more exciting. They weren't like, oh, we're going to punish you for this. All they could come up with was, don't talk about Jesus. We just don't want you to talk about Jesus. And Peter and John responded by saying, well, why don't you decide what's right? Do you want me to listen to you, or do you want me to listen to God? You decide. But for us, God has done amazing things, and we will not stay silent. It's not the same Peter that denied Jesus. This isn't the same Peter. It isn't even the same Peter that Jesus had looked at in his shame and guilt and called him to follow him. It was a Peter that was filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is what enabled him to follow God. I think I was preparing for this sermon, and the first thing I thought of was this shame and guilt. God just laid it on my heart that there's people here, people in our church that just feel so ashamed, feel so like God just can't use you, God can't love you, God's written you off, and God's saying, I see you. I love you. I have a purpose for you. So follow me. He says, do you love me? The same way that he asked Peter, do you love me? If your answer is yes, then God has a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter that you feel ashamed. It doesn't matter that you feel guilty. It doesn't matter what you've done. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but I know that was good for Peter, but for me, my situation's different. No, it's not. God loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And he's not done with you yet. Another thing that I was thinking about was this idea of being bold about the things of God's kingdom. I think that I see like, sorry, now I'm going to go on a little tangent here. Every time I open my phone and it gives me like those top 4 news articles, it's always something negative. It's always, this is going wrong, this is bad, this is happening, and it's so discouraging. I get so fed up with it. Sometimes I'm like, man, I don't want to look at the news because I just know it's going to be something bad. But can I tell you, we have some good news. Jesus came for good news. God's kingdom is good news. And we need to be a little bolder in talking about the good news of Jesus. We need to start proclaiming the things that God has done. We need to start boldly talking about the things that God's doing in our lives. And there's going to be times when you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm going to speak life over myself. I'm going to speak life over my situation. God's made some promises in here, and I'm going to speak them over my life. Satan, you haven't won. There's good news, and we need to start proclaiming it. In closing, I don't know how long I've been up here. I feel like it was short. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Sorry, Tim. In 2 closing points, I really, really, really want you to think about where you are. Think about what's holding you back. Think about being bold. It's sometimes scary to share the good things of Christ. And you're like, man, I'm walking into the unknown. But there's something so amazing that you don't have to walk it alone. The Holy Spirit comes and he empowers you and he enables you. It's not about you doing it in your own strength. And you're like, man, I want to follow God. Jesus is calling me, saying, follow me. And you're like, I want to do it, but I don't know how. I don't have the strength on my own. I've tried and I just keep failing. But it's not about how good you can be. It's not about you being like, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be like Jesus. It's all about intimacy with God. When you spend time with God, you become more like him. I notice it with like my own friendships, my own relationships. I'll like hang out with someone and they use a term and then I start picking it up and you start talking like them and eventually you can't even tell the difference. Like my sister and I, if we both answer the phone, everybody thinks it's the other person because you become like each other. That's how it is with God. The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in God's presence, then the more you'll be like him. It's not about you trying to be more like Jesus. It's about you being with Jesus. It's about that relationship. So, it's time for a moment of boldness. It's time for a moment of saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. God's giving you the same chance today that he gave Peter when he said, follow me. Follow me. And maybe you're like, man, I don't feel ashamed. It's okay. Like, I'm not there. That's not where I am. That's okay. Follow him boldly. He's going to empower you. He's going to enable you. He's going to give you the words to speak. He's going to be the one that, man, when I thought about getting up on stage, I'm like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know. Even this morning, I'm like, okay, I mean, I wrote a sermon, but I don't know. And God said, it's not you. It's not you. You're not getting up there. I'm going to speak through you. It's my words, not yours. And that's what it comes down to. So I'm just going to pray a quick prayer over us in the end of, not the end, but later on in Acts 4. The believers after Peter and John have been released. The believers get together and they pray. And they said, I want to make sure I get the verse here. In verse 29. So Acts 4, verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your Holy Spirit." So let's just pray together. God, I just pray that you would enable us. God, that your Holy Spirit would speak the words of you, God, through us. God, that you would just enable us, that as situations come up, God, as they said in Acts 24, 29, consider their threats and enable your servants. So God, I just pray that as we look at our circumstances, as we look at what we're going to be facing this week, God, that you would enable us, that you would give us your words, that your Holy Spirit would just give us boldness, Lord. God, be with us this week. I just pray, God, that there would be a rising up of bold proclamations of your good news, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, how's...